In a world where uncertainty reigns supreme, where shadows of chaos dance at every turn, one truth emerges unyielding. Preparation is not a luxury, but a lifeline. Behold the Wellness Company, a beacon of readiness amidst the tempestuous seas of fate. Envision a sanctuary of tranquility, where the tumult of unforeseen medical crises finds no purchase. The Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit stands as a bastion of assurance, a fortress of resilience against the unseen foes of health. Within its sacred confines lie the tools of salvation. Ivermectin, to ward off the insidious whispers of disease. Emergency antibiotics, to quell the raging storms of infection. Antivirals, to vanquish the relentless tides of contagion, and more. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit is not merely a collection of supplies, it is the embodiment of preparedness itself. Crafted by the hands of esteemed healers led by luminaries such as Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Risch, and Dr. Drew Pinsky, this kit stands as the pinnacle of safety, the zenith of prevention. These truth-seeking doctors have forged a testament to vigilance, a testament to the unwavering pursuit of well-being. Embrace the certainty that comes from being armed against adversity. Embrace the Wellness Company, for in its embrace lies the promise of resilience, the promise of a brighter tomorrow amidst the chaos of today. Don't wait for the next crisis to strike. Visit twc.health/strangeplanet and use promo code STRANGEPLANET for an exclusive 10% discount. Prepare today and rest easy tomorrow.
I'm Andrew Gold, a fallen BBC journalist interviewing the heretics and rebels brave enough to speak out against mainstream narratives. Here's Coleman Hughes, John Ronson, and the Trigonometry podcast guys bringing controversy to the fore.
How'd you feel if a person of a different race moved in next door?
I spent a while with a politically correct faction of the Ku Klux Klan.
The system punishes people for wrongthink. It's heartbreaking.
Here's My Unorthodox Life Netflix star Julia Hart on getting out of a Hasidic Jewish cult.
Why can't I be okay with being silent and subservient? Everyone else is.
And biologist Richard Dawkins on trans activism.
It's perfectly legitimate to say, I am a man, but I feel feminine. But to then say, therefore I am a woman, is just a betrayal of language.
Now it's your turn. Rebel against the mainstream and find a home in this sensible alternative space by subscribing to Heretics Podcast.
Have you ever wondered why we call French fries French fries? Or why something is the greatest thing since sliced bread? There are answers to those questions. Everything Everywhere Daily is a podcast for curious people who want to learn more about the world around them. Every day you'll learn something new about things you never knew you didn't know. Subjects include history, science, geography, mathematics, and culture. If you're a curious person and want to learn more about the world you live in, just subscribe to Everything Everywhere Daily, wherever you cast your pod.
Richard Serrett's Strange Planet. Following the truth wherever it leads. Exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites. Revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality. Coming to you from the Great White North and his studio beneath the stairs. Here's Richard.
Welcome once again to Strange Planet. And on this episode, digital IDs, digital currency, 15-minute cities, the next pandemic, our dystopian future, our dystopian present. We're going to get into all that with an award-winning independent filmmaker, editor, director, composer, creative designer, Frank Jacob, has been producing compelling documentary and commercial films for a diverse and exciting range of broadcasts and brands, from forbidden archaeology to sexy cars, consciousness to extreme sports, from story development to camera work, music, sound design, graphic design, and motion graphics. Frank works at all levels of the production process on all industry standard and creative software platforms. And we'll tell you about, I'm not sure if we can still view the webinar, A Tale of Two Timelines. It might still be available. He'll tell us about that and some of his other projects. Frank Jacob, welcome aboard once again. How are you?
I'm good, Richard. Nice to be back. How are you?
Very well. Last time we spoke, I believe we were on Coast to Coast, and we were talking about Project Looking Glass and the Chronovisor and other things. First of all, I mentioned the webinar, A Tale of Two Timelines. Is that still available online somewhere we can watch it?
yes, the webinar is still available. It's still online. And the nice thing about things that are online, such as those, is that people that join the webinar then can later go back and rewatch it multiple times to catch up on some of the more difficult passages.
All right. And we should mention some of the films. Packing for Mars. We might have touched on that on my the podcast the last time. I don't think we got into that on Coast. Strangers at the Pentagon, the Klaus Donner Chronicles, which I don't know if we'll have time on this episode, but we could do a whole coast-to-coast show or a couple of podcasts on that as well. Let's just talk briefly about the Tale of Two Timelines. Let people know what that's about, and then I want to get into some of these other topics.
Sure. Well, the Tale of Two Timelines came about actually after I sort of broke a story last March about a group of whistleblowers or participants, let's say, that were working on something called Project Looking Glass. And that is something that I knew about from earlier years. In fact, that information goes back, by now close to 20 years. Some of the early whistleblowers began emerging around 2003, 2004. And then it kind of, went viral again 10 years later with another person that came forward and talked about working on that project. And it had to do with time peering technology, which is used by the cabal, or you could say the black ops people, whoever's involved in those things. And they were using it to, of course, gain an advantage by being able to look at time streams and then alter events by inserting alternate events somewhere in the time stream, then to see how those resulted. And they began to create all these paradoxes. But in the end, what emerges is that there really is, like, kind of, you could say, two timelines that emerge toward at a certain point. And that point, you could say, is a point where there's going to be some kind of a cosmic event, cataclysm. It could be something that has to do with maybe even with AI. But it was interesting to explore that story. And so I decided to go deep into that whole Looking Glass project again and mine it for whatever was there. And I found so much information, not just about Looking Glass, but also about extraterrestrial contact with human beings that had to do with future humans. And those future humans are what ultimately led to discovering technology such as Looking Glass technology. And that led to kind of a timeline war. And I guess at that point was at the very latest that we discovered that, A, there's other entities, sentient beings in the universe beside ourselves, and B, there was a kind of a timeline war. And what was that timeline war? And so that's what I explored in that webinar. And it really boils down to really this idea between a synthetically dominated, artificial intelligence dominated, materialistic timeline versus a natural timeline where human beings discover hidden potentials in their own biology that turn them into kind of that lead to a quantum evolutionary leap in our evolution. So we steer away from that, more materialistic and more toward a spiritual timeline, and identifying all the different markers that would identify what those particular qualities are in each of the timeline. That's what it's kind of about.
And so the elites are trying to stage manage events so that their preferred timeline, which is a dystopian future, as you say, dominated by artificial intelligence and perhaps, we'll get into this, maybe medical tyranny, massive surveillance, dystopian. So they want to stage manage events so that that timeline becomes the dominant timeline and succeeds. Now, and they're using this Project Looking Glass as a tool to that end. You mentioned time travelers. So is this alien technology, or was this technology, this Looking Glass technology, developed by our descendants or our ancestors in the future?
Yeah, that's an interesting, concept, right? Are they our descendants or our ancestors? Yeah. Well, the fact that they are humans that came back would make them us in a way. So it's time technology developed by us. However, there is mention of them being found in sort of sealed cylinders in the Middle East, and that the technology originally was placed by Sumerians. So, it goes back quite a way. And I think that it's only maybe one of several different time manipulation technologies, which we've been exploring, or which certain factions have been exploring for quite some time, really. And the there's been several characters that have come forward and told us stories about their involvement in time travel technology, which is another thing altogether. I mean, time, Looking Glass is not time travel in a sense. Well, I guess, well, it's hard to say. You could almost say it is too, but it's just a different, it's different than things like something called the Chronovisor, which is another time peering technology, which then later was combined with teleportation methodologies developed by Nikola Tesla. And a certain whistleblower emerged, or somebody who, you know, that I think you may have, you know, you mentioned it before, Andrew Bishago.
Yeah, Project Pegasus.
You know, who described Project Pegasus and these jump room technologies that were going on between the various locations on the Earth, and then later between the Earth and other planets, including Mars, which is why we got in touch with Andrew Bishago in the first place. But yes, it's, you know, it's technology which... you know, for those people who are in charge of it, I guess it wouldn't be dystopia. And you mentioned the word, for us on the outside of that technology, it absolutely is, because it means an absolute, limitation of our sovereignty and our freedom as souls. Literally, it's the end of natural biological humans versus people that it completely embrace and enter into that digitized materialistic version of time, or of a timeline altogether. One of those will survive. Both of them won't. They will not be able to live. Right now, we're sort of in that parallel time where both timelines are active, where you can see where some people are living on kind of on both, gravitating more toward one rather than the other. But both will not longer survive at a certain point. And this cosmic event could have something to do with it, but also just the natural play of things could have something to do with it. I often describe it kind of like a garden where there's a plant, and the plant that gets the most attention, the water, the love, the light, the nutrients. If all the other plants are starved of those things, what's going to happen? Of course, only one plant will survive in that garden, or one kind of plant will survive in that garden.
Earlier today on my daily show, I was talking to Dr. Robert Malone, who is sort of the original inventor of mRNA vaccine delivery technology. And he just wrote a book, Lies the Government Told Me, with a foreword by Robert Kennedy Jr. And we were talking about, you know, we have roughly 5.5 billion people on this planet that were either, that were vaccinated, either cajoled or coerced or tricked, or, you know, they did it for all the right reasons, they thought, whatever the reason. So we're looking at 70% of the population, the largest human experiment in history.
Right.
I mean, where does that, is that a cataclysmic event that's going to change, the dominance of one or the other timelines, or is that the part of the stage managing? And he describes it as fifth generational warfare.
Right. Something which happened by accident. You know, they've been planning things moving toward some kind of a digital ID or a biometric ID for quite some time. And so, you know, some people, you know, really don't understand that the pandemic was just kind of a setup for us to accept this technology and this whole new version of healthcare, or the idea that the first step toward getting us away from complete sovereignty as beings, which has always been to the very end limited by our body. I mean, the last frontier is they can throw you in jail, but they can't control your mind. But now they can control your mind too. And the way they do that is by getting under your skin, inside your skin, with what he's describing. Yes, he's absolutely right. Bioweapons. I don't know if he goes as far as Karen Kingston does in breaking down these Pfizer patents, but it's very clear from this patent information that they've revealed that's been mined by Karen Kingston in her Substack that they've actually, you know, patented these things, which have essentially the ability to create nanobots that are inside of our bodies. And those nanobots respond to light waves and light spectrums. Different light spectrums trigger different functions, and different intensities of light create different functions. And they can actually, and a certain David Nixon has begun filming actual samples of these nanobots in action, building stuff. That's the craziest thing you've ever seen. And so we, you know, about that have been digging into this stuff, we want to know what is it that they're building. And of course, it does, you know, and very few people are talking about that. I mean, a lot of people are talking about the very fact that the vaccines themselves are a violation. You know, they always mention the Nuremberg Code and all these things. But what they're not really talking about is that this is actual technology that's entered our system, and that it's all about that technology and nothing else. It's all about this bioweapon. The rest of the story is an old story. It's just, you know, a story that they keep chasing and keep chasing, but they're not getting it. And so this is, you know, the move toward a whole digital economy and a whole world where even our own decisions are no longer our own. So, I mean, that's about as dystopian as it gets, right?
I'll say. So these nanobots have been filmed inside us building something. What are they building?
That's it. And that is the question of the day. And I will say, I mean, Nixon's been filming samples of the vaccines that he's gotten on Petri dish slides, right? So I don't know if he's moved on and gotten actual samples from people. He came up with the idea of even filming or analyzing or studying what's in them, because he was as a forensics, or he was somebody who was dealing with, you know, a lot of you know, people that had died. And so he was looking at what's inside their bodies, and he was finding these stringy things we've all heard about and died suddenly. And so that's what spawned him looking at the actual vaccines under the microscope. So what we have as a result of his work is a catalog of images which show these microprocessor-like things, and they match up very closely to what's in the actual, you know, diagrams that have been released. And what they call, there's a word for it, it's called the intra-body network. And that intra-body network has a series of components, and those components could be whatever they decide they're going to be. And they program those from exterior sources using light and energy, like 5G energy, for example. This is why 5G sprung up all over the place, you might say, or you might hypothesize, because, of course, we're still wanting the answers from those people who have set this stuff in motion, and they're ignoring us. So we're on the outside theorizing based on what there is on the patents, but their patents show very definitive drawings of modems, software components, things inside of our body that are built, you know, as they're needed. And, you know, antennas, for example, and they're made with graphene oxide like substances, which aren't officially listed as an ingredient. Even, of course, the ingredients themselves have been left blank conveniently, but those, you know, who are working on studying those things are finding graphene oxide like structures inside of the actual blood. In this case, the blood, there's over 46 different research groups right now studying this. And there was one study done of 1,000 people who had been vaccinated and came down with COVID symptoms, and 94% of the people, they found these graphene oxide-like substances. And graphene oxide is one of these things that's very, very hard to break down. I mean, you can make brake pads with it. It's so biodegradable. So it's the perfect substance for them to have in our body. And even though it's not listed on the ingredients, and you can't really find it in a sense if you just take a regular blood sample, if you look at it from a frequency perspective, it suddenly appears. And the crazy thing about Nixon's work is that, taking it one step further, he found that when he was looking at this stuff under his microscope in a non-shielded environment, in other words, one getting electromagnetic frequencies, as we all do every moment of our lives, as we're living in this, swimming in this, you know, world of electromagnetic radiation in the meantime, he found that when he isolated them in a Faraday cage-like environment, they actually disappeared. I mean, they were building, it looked like things were building stuff. Little arms came into being and building little square things, and then they would vanish. And he was like, wow. And then he put it back under the, you know, non-shielded environment. What happened? It reappeared and continued on from where it left off. I mean, this is really alien or whatever technology. I mean, maybe it's future human technology, but they talk about these abduction cases and genetic manipulation. Well, you know, all of this stuff kind of fits into some strange big puzzle.
Sounds almost like we're talking about like quantum nanoparticles that are interdimensional, right? Non-locality.
Very good point. They call it quantum dot technology, and it actually does go outside into other dimensions to operate. Very, very hard stuff for most people to understand. and totally being ignored, except for people like us talking on this fringe level of society. But it is nonetheless just as real as reading the headline of a regular newspaper.
So I guess it would stand to reason then the elites, whatever they're giving to the us useless eaters, they're not taking that in their jab, or if they're taking a jab at all. Or are
well,
they?
If we look at the, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, or are they? I mean, is this part of a transhumanist agenda that they're on board with it as well?
Well, the interesting thing about that is when we looked at the Guardians of the Looking Glass videos that emerged, that I did that story on last year, which led to the Tale of Two Timelines, they were talking about essentially this vaccine being a critical aspect of changing our, you know, our cell, our bodies on a genetic level, so that when this cosmic event takes place, we are switched off. But that they themselves are working on technology, which is also administered via vaccine to themselves, which is going to enhance even and boost whatever would happen to us under natural circumstances. In other words, if nothing intervened and we were just allowed to live the way we live, then you know, this event that happens, and this is also documented in the information that came out from working or talking and speaking with the J-Rods, which are those extraterrestrial future humans I mentioned earlier. They were talking about it 30, 40, 50 years ago about this cosmic event that's going to happen. The one faction was saying it's going to lead to our, you know, to their future, sort of this dystopian mutated future, leading to their timeline. And the others, the P52s from 52,000 years, they were saying, no, there's a way they've learned in the meantime that we can actually affect the cosmos with our consciousness. And they were trying to make us aware that, you know, of that simple fact that we could actually influence the cosmos, that we're not just affected or a victim of whatever's coming at us from the, you know, from the cosmos around us, but that there's an interplay, there's an interaction on a very high spiritual level. And so these two things are what's at stake. So if there was no vaccines at all, we would be enhanced, or we would be booted up with extra abilities. It would be unlocking aspects of our DNA, which are now hidden from us, but that the vaccine would actually block those things. So the question is, you know, are they developing their own vaxes, boosting their abilities when this happens, or are they just taking salt mixtures, or are they taking nothing at all? I would tend to believe that it's that's really going on, Richard, because, you know, you can isolate yourself for a while in this world. Even if you're an elitist, you can be living, you know, in your own bubble world, maybe underground city, but at some point, you know, most of them are still living on the surface with the rest of us. And there are other technologies around us which are affecting us adversely as well, which go to chemtrails, which go to HARP, which is stuff that they're working on in CERN, affecting the Schumann resonances, which affect our states of consciousness. So they're not going to be able to be immune from those things. So it's not a far-fetching idea to think that they could be using vaccines to isolate or insulate themselves, or to be unaffected by those things that they're dropping in the environment all around us right now.
Right. They have another batch that they're getting. All right. Yeah. Frank, we will take a quick time out and come back and discuss our dystopian future, or a possible utopian future. Two timelines. Stay with us.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be buried in an avalanche?
Weird foreign feeling of despair.
Or how it feels to crash a skydive?
I remember hearing a thud, feeling my body hit the ground.
Or how you would react if you were being attacked by an alligator?
At the end of my leg is this huge alligator head on my leg.
These are the stories you'll hear on the podcast called What Was That Like? True stories told by the actual person who went through it. You'll hear from a victim of an attack.
Dragging me into the bathroom and saying, I'm going to kill you, now you're going to die.
You'll hear from a man who discovered a baby.
How could this be? How could there be a baby on the ground?
And you'll hear actual 911 calls.
Lincoln County 911.
There's a man at my back door. He's trying to get in.
What Was That Like is a podcast about real people in unreal situations. Search for What Was That Like on any podcast app, or at whatwasthatlike.com.
We all enjoy a little mystery. Every other week, One Strange Thing presents forgotten stories from America's newspaper archives. They all have something in common, a single element that can't quite be explained. Join us on One Strange Thing, and you'll hear about a man who was literally stricken with genius. A 21st century child who remembered piloting a World War II bomber. A mysterious, unidentifiable blob in Texas. And then there was the lizard man stalking through small-town South Carolina. From cryptids and disappearances to modern-day miracles, One Strange Thing brings you stories that are very real and just a little otherworldly. Subscribe now, wherever you listen.
This is Richard Serrett's Strange Planet. Follow Richard on Twitter at Richard Serrett. For show information, visit the website strangeplanet.ca.
Frank Jacob is with us, award-winning independent filmmaker, and the website's frankjacob.com, cyberhive.tv. Cyberhive.tv, what do we find there?
Cyberhive.tv is the home of the Tale of Two Timelines webinar and a new community, which I'm setting up, which is outside of YouTube and all the other censored platforms, for community discussion, for posting of these videos and information with each other. And of course, a link and resource to all the other websites that I have, like my own frankjacob.com and our movies and films that you mentioned so kindly earlier.
All right. I've had a hard time getting a handle on this character out of the WEF. Some say he's kind of Klaus Schwab's number two, Yuval Harari, who talks about a very dystopian future. He talks about hacking not only the human brain, but hacking the human soul. And I can't tell whether he's trying to issue a dire warning or whether he's in on it. Do you have a handle on Yuval Harari and who he is and what he's up to?
Well, you know, it's interesting. For a long time, he was highly respected as a historian. And then he started to take a dive in down the deep end into very dystopian areas of human, study of human futures and human past, etc. And he began to, maybe it's because he saw the writing on the wall, or because so many of the people that he now is, whose prophet he has become, like Klaus Schwab, have begun to influence him in that direction. But no doubt he is one of the kingpins and leaders, or thought leaders, you could say, of this new future. And his saying is that right up on his website, or when he's doing these talks in front of the World Economic Forum, is history began when humans invented the gods, and it will end when humans become gods. And the thing is very much about whoever owns data and controls the data controls the future. And, you know, so this is his thing. And he's even got a formula for it. He calls it the B times C times D equals the biological knowledge times computing power times data equals ability to hack humans. You have to realize these people, they don't see us as, they don't believe in a God. They don't believe in a creator being. They just believe in accident, because they're dealing with, you know, essentially the model that we are a random series of atoms and molecules and particles slamming together over eternity in a multiverse.
Yeah, meat robots.
Right. So that eventually in one of those combinations of slamming together of atoms and atoms and particles, we are created. Consciousness happens. And we are, of course, the highest level of consciousness. And therefore, our consciousness controls, as gods on the planet, the direction of the planet. And we would, of course, develop technology, and the technology would enhance our ability as humans. And then we would eventually merge with that and become this new species, leaving humans 1.0 in the dust to become humans 2.0, a highly superior version of the biology, which they see as inferior. They see our biology as flawed. And they're working to get past those flaws. They don't look at many of the things that actually could change or enhance our biological flaws, if you want to call them that, that we already have. And I think this is the biggest problem in general with these people, these materialists, is that they don't see the big picture. They don't see the grand scale of things. So they're easy to criticize those who are coming up against, you know, any of these developments and saying that we're just conspiracy theorists. But if you look at the whole picture, you see all the elements fitting together. And if you study all those elements, you realize that there is really, there's been kind of an unconsciousness, you know, that has emerged as a result of denying our soul, of denying ourselves as a creative being made by a grand creator, that, you know, that gives them they believe the right to dominate and to usurp and take over the timeline that they're trying to create. Because they're like, you know, it goes right back to the Darwinian model of the fittest, you know, the fittest will survive. The competition is always the strongest will survive. So their idea of strong has nothing to do with these finer levels of reality, which live in the spiritual domain, the spiritual dimension, outside of maybe even outside of our 3D, 4D world.
I believe in an immortal soul. I mean, that separates me and others from the materialists, as you say, who look at us as these meat robots. What happens though? Any thoughts on what happens to our spirit, our immortal souls, if we take the vaccine?
You know, I can't give you a personal report on that, but I have some friends and in our network that are studying people on an energetic level who have had the vaccination, and they are reporting that there's a kind of a disconnect between their spiritual body and their physical body. There is this energy body that we have that's even been measured scientifically with scientific instruments, just not in the mainstream science, you could say, that identifies another form of body, an energetic body that we have. And you know, that might be where some of these higher energy levels and higher forms of consciousness reside. And when there's this disconnect, that means that we can no longer control our physical body from the spiritual dimension. And even that whistleblower who was called Gideon, who emerged at the tail of the very last end of the Looking Glass Guardians videos, was this guy called Gideon, who was talking about an emerging new software based on digital currency, which he went very, very deep into talking about things that are, you could say, on the spiritual level. And he was saying that exactly that is what the plan is all along. It's about breaking this connection between our bodies and our souls. And Rudolf Steiner, 100 years ago in the 1920s, was talking about vaccines being the method or the instrument used to separate our bodies from our souls. And those pretty much identical words. So there must be something to it. Those people who have NDEs have brought back their reports on experiences that they've had outside of their bodies while their actual physical bodies were proclaimed dead. According to science, there's a certain threshold which they proclaim you to be physically dead. These people have returned after that threshold was crossed, and they definitely report that it's not over, that there's something else that goes on. There's a continuation of our consciousness. They even meet with beings, they go to places, they experience time on a totally different level as well. And then they return to the physical body. And in some cases, the body should already be, you know, not decomposed, but so damaged, brain damaged or physically damaged in other ways, that it would not be possible to continue living a normal life. But they proved against science, and they emerged and regained 100% of their faculties and were able to report these things. So we know that this world does exist. You know, they're even developing something called a neurophone that is actually a telephone system to try and take up contact with those who have left and crossed the threshold to the other side. So imagine if they can actually stop that. And this Gideon guy talks about that's the purpose. They're trying to disconnect that soul connection. So those who then die or leave their bodies, they never make it to the place that, you know, the real source of our spiritual strength. They get stuck in this you know, dystopian world, even outside of the physical body. I think many people don't want to go there, and you don't really have to go there to make it clear and important that the battle that we have to fight right now is the one that we're fighting here on Earth against these forces, and, you know, just trying to stop them from realizing that material world.
So if 70% of the world population has been vaccinated, what is the end game, I guess, for the other 2.5 billion of us that remain vaccine free? I mean, it sounds like they're going to try and get the mRNA technology into us by hook or by crook, either by injecting it into livestock or, I don't know, maybe through shedding. Any sense of what the strategy is?
Yeah, a lot of this stuff goes back to things like smart dust, for which there's also patents, which is a technology that coincides with nanoparticles being injected. It's actually in the environment all around us. And so there's that, not to be discounted. They're talking about these smart cities, right? They're talking about installing this technology all around us. It's all pervasive, all penetrating, so that there's no escape from it. But they, you know, for them, of course, they want that. They think that's cool. So for them, it's like, my God, it's everywhere. It'll be utopia, right? But for us who respect sovereignty and wants any kind of idea of individuality and anonymity, it's absolute hell. So there's the smart dust, and there's also, you know, they've done blood analysis of people who have not been vaccinated, and they have found the same similar kind of weird structures inside of the blood of those people as well. So just, you know, being not vaccinated isn't not going to stop you from being exposed, apparently, to what they're planning. And if you look at the patents that they've put out forward, they've talked about how their patent encompasses not just injecting it into, putting it into vaccines, but dropping it into baby care products and, you know, hygiene products, and probably even most diabolical, vitamin supplements that people buy at health food stores. So they're not stopping anywhere soon. They're looking to get this everywhere, all pervasive, so that they can, you know, materialize this world of theirs. I think we have to be clear about just how adamant and how pervasive and how persistent they have, and they've been this way for well over 100 years. This isn't something that just emerged out of nowhere. It isn't something that just emerged 2019 when they were, you know, they're trying to create these, you know, new systems of biometric ID that they're developing. It's been around for, this plan has been around for a long time. So they're not going to go away unless we make them stop. And that means we have to actually confront them with what they're doing, or they're going to get away with it. It's quite simple.
Frank, another time out awaits on the other side, back with more of our conversation. Frank Jacob, filmmaker, stay with us.
This is Richard Serrett's Strange Planet. Follow Richard on Twitter at Richard Serrett. For show information, visit the website strangeplanet.ca.
Frank Jacob is with us, award-winning independent filmmaker, frankjacob.com and cyberhive.tv. If you go to cyberhive.tv, the webinar Tale of Two Timelines is there and available. Check it out. Getting back to more of the battle for these two timelines, it would seem as if the elites and their dystopian future that they have in mind for us, clearly they have the upper hand. I mean, what are you hearing from whistleblowers through Project Looking Glass in terms of you know, how we may be able to turn the tide?
Well, it's true. The advantage at the moment is clearly with dystopian people. And there's a lot of people out there in the alternative scene who are hailing that it's over, you know, just watch the plan unfold. Everything's being taken care of by certain white hats. And I'm just, it's so sad to hear that, because this is a very specific psyop that, you know, that is known. You know, there's different kinds of psyops that have been used really over the centuries. You know, there's demoralization psyops, there's disinfo psyops, there's false flag psyops, and there's stand down psyops. You know, and stand down psyops is what we're looking at when people say that the white hats got this, that we need to just, you know, chill watch the plan unfold and that these good guys somehow on the inside are fixing things. Now, that's great if you're somebody who woke up in the COVID crisis, you know, and for the first time in your life began to question the reality around you and say, wait a minute, something's not right. There's like, you know, there's these people that seem to be steering society in a very dystopian direction. And I think that's wrong. And you begin to kind of wake up and look at what else is going on. But for some of us that have been studying these things for 30 or more years, we've seen this, you know, proclamation of the white hats coming to fix things for the last 40 years, Richard, and they haven't done it yet. Okay. So I'm just like, how much longer are we going to wait for them to come and fix it? They're not coming. Okay. I mean, you might as well just assume they're not coming. Okay. Because what would that do if you assume, if they were no longer coming and you really cared about humanity in your life, what would you do? Well, you would get busy. You would start to, if nobody's coming to fix it, you would try to fix it yourself. You would align with others who are also interested in trying to fix it, because if we are all there is, like the Hopi says, we're the ones we've been waiting for, then we need to get busy. And the first thing we do to get busy is we accept the fact that there is really a faction of people who are moving us toward this materialistic timeline, who are not interested in helping those who are more on the spiritual end of things, who are not interested in this idea of a spiritual timeline, of a timeline where their technology is not the dominant force. And once you have accepted that, you can see, you know, clearly in the media all around us, you can see signposts for their agenda. The latest one is, you know, Biden negotiating a deal to give the World Health Organization authority over U.S. pandemic policies. Okay, if the good guys were really winning, why is it every day you wake up, you find another stupid headline that's talking about another step forward toward locking us out of our reality, of our sovereignty, right? So once you begin to see the picture, then you are no longer giving your energy to it. Unconsciously, one of the reasons they're succeeding and they have an advantage is because they're literally, the people talk about something called lush, where our body's energy is given to, you know, some parasitic aliens or maybe even AI. But in a way, that's really kind of what's going on here. Our energy on a mental level is also giving them our frequency of energy. We're going into resonance when we accept blindly, or we don't question that energy out there. We're going into kind of a resonance with it. And so they're tapping into that. And we know that the way it works in scientific models, when two things come into resonance with each other, they exchange information. And so we might be being programmed underhandedly without our even knowing it by our blind acceptance of what's going on around us. So the first step is to cut that tie, is to realize, no, really, there is a battle for our sovereignty that's going on. There is a new timeline they're trying to create that's steering us away from our own organic, natural human timeline. And once you do that, you stop giving them your frequency, you stop feeding their timeline, you begin to weaken their timeline. The other thing is you begin to attract others who are connected to you on the same frequency. So you begin to go into resonance with others, with conscious beings who are awakening. And once you do that, you begin to strengthen this other timeline, this natural timeline. Another step that you can do is you have to, for something to become manifest in physical reality, we have to see it first. Any scientists or any, you know, theorists or anybody, an engineer, will tell you that they see things in their mind before they actually build them. So we have to see this future timeline. We have to see what it might be like, and we have to give it emotion. Because that's the other critical factor. Through emotion, it's now been proven scientifically, emotion creates reality. So if our emotion is tied to their timeline, which is often also accompanied by fear, I mean, what greater way to generate fear than to create a virus as an enemy that you cannot see? I mean, behind every signpost or every street corner is the virus lurking to jump on you and attack you, right? The ultimate fear porn. Once you free yourself of that, you no longer give them your fear. So you begin to use your own emotions toward, you know, when you see that future timeline, that organic timeline, it should be accompanied by a lot of joy and happiness, right? You should be feeling a charge. You should be feeling, you know, just really like stoked. And, you know, when I in my own version of it, when I see things, I see the breakthrough of technologies which have been suppressed for well over 100 years that would lead to things like free energy, that would lead to these so-called med beds, which are momentarily, at the moment, they're just showing us a bunch of video game bed depictions, but they don't exist yet. But they could exist, and they have existed in the past, or at least the technology leading to what's called a med bed based on frequency energy and things like that. That has already was started over 100 years ago by Raymond Rife with his Rife ray tube and the microscope he was developing. And he proved the concept, but he was taken out. So, I mean, we in my timeline, I begin to see that we recapture this kind of technology, and it generates, you know, headlines in a new timeline, and it generates the energy and the confidence in those people who are maybe a little bit doubters still, who don't believe that it could happen. It strengthens them, and we begin to fight a numbers game where we begin to get, we save people that are locked in the other timeline and give them hope, because people feel, I believe, Richard, people feel there's something wrong. They sense there's something wrong, but they don't know how to identify it. And they maybe don't know what to do about it. But when other people begin to emerge, and that's the fourth factor, is there has to be a safe ground for them to be there, to exist. We need to establish a place where technologies and ideas can live unencumbered by censorship and by being attacked from, you know, the goons who are operating on the other timeline, who are trying to prevent that through things like machine learning fairness or Operation Jigsaw, which they're developing right now, which is literally equates to the artificial intelligence version of burning of books, you know, the digital book burning of the world that's coming in the very, very near future. That's the next step, because if they can succeed in stopping us from sharing information, and they can succeed in blocking information that we might need that'll give us what we need to, you know, enhance our timeline, our vision of the timeline with information about technologies and things that are out there. If those things are suppressed, it's, you know, game over. So we need to be fighting on all these fronts. We need to make ourselves aware, and we need to approach, and I guess that would be another step, approach those people we've given our power to in politics and say, wait a minute, I need you to look at this. You know, this is the technology they're developing. What is your comment on this? Because you don't talk about it, because this is leading to this dystopian future. You don't even have to use those words. You can just say it's leading to a future where we no longer have sovereignty. Are you into that? Is that what you're into? Have you been briefed about this? Do you realize that in the next 5 to 10 years, 40 to 50% of the workforce is going to become replaced by automation based on artificial intelligence? Are you aware of that? What is your contingency plan for that? You know, these are hard questions. We need to learn things about this dystopian timeline in order to ask the hard questions of those who we've given the power in our elected officials to.
I mean, it sounds that simple and that complicated all at once. I mean, much of it is done on a mass consciousness level. I'm kind of a boots on the ground kind of guy. Like I need an assignment. Hand me a shovel. I don't know. Like, what else? What do I do?
Well, that's part of what you could do is just when you're putting together in the focus of in your particular world, you're putting out radio shows and you're putting out information. So, you know, putting your information out, targeting these agendas right now, for the most part, is important, because we could be talking about all kinds of cool stuff, and that's what's going on as well. There's this flood out there of new information like Tartaria and, you know, the flat earth, which some people believe, and rightfully so, is a psyop in its own. And, you know, these ideas that, you know, people go, wow, that's cool, and they zone off, right? I mean, it's just, we have to put information about the important stuff out there right now. So in your particular case, I can only recommend you do a series or a focus on this kind of information to the widest possible audience out there. And you get the most knowledgeable people on the shows to discuss these things. And that will probably help maybe wake up more people, you know, because we need to wake up as many people as possible to succeed. The other thing is, once you've woken up, so you never know who you're going to reach in these shows. It could just be one person. That could be that one person who has a connection to some senator who has enough power to make something happen. He walks in and shows them this, and that senator is affected in a very deep way and profound way. And that senator begins to actually operate maybe rogue within the system and begins to wake up others in his circle. So we have to also believe that you know, that something like this is going to happen. There's going to be this critical moment, this critical mass threshold, which you're going to surpass. So each of us individually can do only what we do. Every one of us, if you break away from that system matrix thinking and you begin to form and shape your new world and the new timeline, we all have our own individual assignments. We'll find that when you tune into it, when you meditate, or when you just go into stillness and you ask yourself, your higher self, what can I do? What can I really do? Well, look, I'm just a regular guy too. And I wrote an article a year ago. That article went viral, and we figured out that by the end of last year, over 3 million people have been listening to that information that we've been putting out about Looking Glass and the timelines. So we definitely made a dent. And that's just me. I mean, I could be anyone. Anyone out there could do anything to affect his environment. Just believe it and know it. Actually, knowing is better than believing. Leaves are like trees. They fall off and you grow new ones, right?
Last question. Are there any whistleblowers with regards to Project Looking Glass who still have access to that technology, who would be able to relate to the public by whatever means that, you know, they've noticed a shift in the timeline, that all our efforts are starting to pay off, that would be, you know, a very hopeful message to learn, hey, we're gaining some ground here, or, you know, we got to pick it up.
Well, you know, specifically, no, because they seem to have been attacked and wiped off the map, basically. The last person they introduced to us as part of their information dump was this Gideon guy who was talking about CSRQ, which is this new digital programmable digital currency, which is coming our way. And that's also a very important topic. We might have to cover that one in another show. But essentially, you know, these people gave us the signals. And it's up to us to take it and run with it. And I think we're doing that. I think we're actually seeing some effect. I would have to say, judging by how there's been a few, you could call setbacks out there that the cabal are experiencing. There's been people in their faces with cameras following them around. There's been slowing down of certain policies. Some actual politicians are beginning to start lawsuits toward vaccination companies that are holding them accountable. And this accountability is going to be key. We're going to have to see a bit more of that, I think, for it to really take hold. It's, you know, because accountability gives people the awareness and the signal that not just people are talking about it, but they're actually holding people accountable, and the accountability is being demonstrated. In other words, people are losing their jobs. They're being put into jail. They're being called criminals that they really are. And the inside workings of that cabal will begin to frazzle. And I think we have seen some of it. We just need to see more of it. And therefore, we need to embrace the idea of us individually as the white hats and not think that there's going to be some group. If there are people, and I'm sure there are people in every organization who are maybe a little bit more conscious and aware of what's going on, even in high-level organizations, I guess you could call them the white hats, but they need to wake up too. They need to be triggered enough to put everything on the line, because literally everything is on the line right now. It's us, like biological humans, or the machine. There is no, you know, there's no one way, there's no two things operating in together in harmony, because eventually, if both are living together in one timeline, they're diametrically opposed philosophies and ideologies. They cannot live together and cohabitate. Unless you really literally divide the world in one half or three quarters of 90% of the people who are embracing transhumanism. And then we have our little island, you know, Madagascar or something, where the human, natural, biological humans get to live unimpeded. Although I think that that's kind of idealistic to think that that's going to happen.
Yeah, they won't allow that. Frank, great speaking with you again. Again, I'll direct people to the website, cyberhive.tv, cyberhive.tv, and you can access the webinar, A Tale of Two Timelines. And it's great to... I always learn so much speaking with you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Richard. It was great to be here.
My pleasure.
A new Richard Serrett's Strange Planet drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.